we get it underway this afternoon by welcoming back to the program from The Athletic, Steve Buckley. Hello there, Buck.
Well, I'm kind of bummed out now. I didn't know it was the last day of summer. You kind of threw a dart through my balloon.
I'm sorry. But look, it's a beautiful day here in New England. As we know, the best time to be here in the Northeast is September and early October.
It certainly is, especially if you own a house, because it's that treasured time of year when you have no gas bill because you're not burning gas, and you have no electricity bill because you don't have the AC going. So it's a wonderful time of year.
I was thinking that just this morning. I'm at, like, we've reached equilibrium, no heating, no cooling for about a week.
Exactly.
Red Sox going at it tonight. You'll be headed to Fenway shortly as they take on the Mets tonight. First of all, a wonderful story, column that you did on the revelations by Chris Sale that, oh no, I'm not vaccinated yet. And this guy who said he would cherish every moment he had left of his baseball career, but not so much that he would do the right thing.
And I'm sure he does, in the grand scheme, cherish those moments. I'm sure he had a... I covered the game when he made that first start against the Orioles and participated in the Zoom session and all that. And I was moved by that and wrote a column about it. And now here we are, you know, roughly 1 month later, and he makes this casual comment that, no, he has been vaccinated. And, you know, let me just say first that, you know, this is what I do for a living, and I write columns, and some of them get a few comments, some of them get a few dozen. This one got hundreds, and everybody has an opinion about this. The one issue I have with the comments is that some of them say, oh, keep your politics out of this. And I went back and reread the column, and there's no politics in it.
No.
I think people attach their politics to the issue. I haven't. I don't know what Chris Sale's politics are. I try to avoid that. It doesn't affect how I view an athlete and under my microscope. So to me, it's not a political issue. The mere fact, and I said this in the column, the mere fact that the ballparks are opening up, that there are 30,000 fans showing up, 30,000 and more, that's testament to the fact that the vaccines are working and we are dragging ourselves back to normal again.
What I wonder in all of this is, how does it impact what we would think of as teamwork? It sounds like maybe Adam Ottavino has been frustrated at times, but are guys able to look past this and just say, when you're available, you'll help us?
Well, I don't know, because obviously we don't have the access that we had pre-COVID, and especially the beat writers, because when in days of old, 2 years ago, have a relationship with this or that player, and at some point somebody would say something. That's how the chicken and beer thing spilled out way back in 2011. We learned a lot about the 0-1 Red Sox after the fact. We may yet learn more after this season is over. What we do have right now is, and you're referencing the Ottavino quote, which was in a piece by Alex Speer in the Boston Globe, and he hinted at it without breaking out the heavy artillery, if you will. But he clearly was able to telegraph his frustration with this. And you have to think that if one player is intimating that, then that there are more players. I mean, there are more players than not who are vaccinated. And, I mean, common sense would tell us that there must be some frustration there.
We're talking with Steve Buckley here on Downtown. On the field tonight, the Sox open a series with the Mets, and here they are with a game and a half lead over Toronto in the wild card race, Yankees a couple of games back, and Oakland and Seattle fading a little bit. Has this team already exceeded the expectations of ownership and management?
And me? Yes. I wrote a piece back in just before the season started. I went back and looked at everybody's predictions going into the season, and a lot of people had them at, and it was almost comical. Everyone had them at 80 and 82 or 82 and 80. That was a good, safe bet that they surely had the talent and that they could have a winning season, but I'd have to go back. I don't recall anybody seeing them, and I'm sure there were some people, but there were not a lot of people picking them to go to the postseason, which means, sure, of course, they have exceeded expectations. But I think that we, as followers of the game, not just writers but fans, have a right to alter their expectations once things have played out. I think Billy Beane was the one with the Oakland A's who said that the season is broken out into thirds. The first third of the season, you see what you've got. The second third of the season, you try to fix it. And the third of the season, you play for the playoffs or wherever you end up. And I think that once we reach that middle ground where they fixed what was broken or made attempts to, and people can argue about should they have gotten this guy or that guy and was Kyle Schwarber enough, be that as it may, they addressed the issues and we look at the team being 4.5 games up. We saw them take a dip and then we expressed frustration. Well, here they are now. They've won 5 in a row. Obviously, the Yankee series, I think, is going to be big. I think we can charitably say the expectation is they should do well in that God-given road trip to end the season against the Nationals and Orioles. But this is a big week. The Mets are still a feisty ball club in spite of all their problems, so that's a team not to be taken lightly. And the Yankees are going to come in here looking to get to the playoffs. So that'll be a big series this weekend.
As you look at how this team has been able to succeed, I think everybody felt that Devers, Xander Bogaerts would bounce back, J.D. Martinez, and have years closer to their norm. But how much credit has to go to Chaim Bloom for finding the right guys, whether it's a Kike Hernandez or a Hunter Renfro, the guys that could play a role and exceed those expectations?
We always like to compare teams with other teams. I live for it. And I compare this team. It's not as good as the 2013 Red Sox, but where the comparisons work is 2011, they lost their way late in the season, ended up out of the playoffs. 2012, we can all agree, was a disaster with Bobby Valentine as manager. Not that I'm blaming him, but it was a poorly constructed team. Look what happens in 13. They go out and get Johnny Gomes. They go out and get Mike Napoli. They really revved it up with role players to augment the talent that they already had. And you look at this team, that's exactly what they did. They got some players. I didn't go crazy about Hunter Renfro. I remember saying, oh, cool, Renfro, okay, good role player. I didn't expect him to put up the numbers that he put up this season. You mentioned Kike Hernandez. And let's not forget Plawecki. Now, he was on the team last year, not that anybody noticed, because last year's team was quickly forgotten. But Plawecki, and again, you can draw a comparison with Sandy Leon several years ago. He had been outrighted by the Washington Nationals, and Sandy Leon, as a backup catcher, gave the Red Sox several years of good service, and that's what Plawecki is giving the Red Sox right now. So you're correct. They've done a good job. Heim's done a good job of finding those diamonds in the rough that are playing key roles.
If this team gets in and gets that playoff spot, assuming it's the one-game wild card spot, is Chris Sale an automatic to be the starting pitcher in that game?
I would think so, but note that the writers are all, if you read all this stuff, there's a lot of point, counterpoint. Would they go with Eovaldi? I guess a lot would depend on what they need to do on the final game of the season, whether they would use Sale and use guys in relief if they have to. And again, I don't want to beat this to death with comparisons from days gone by, but on the final day of the 67 season, I think you might know, or your listeners might know where I'm going with this, if you're old enough, the Red Sox needed to win the final game of the 67 season. So they had Jim Lomborg on the mound. He beats the Twins. They win the pennant and so forth. But because of that, he could not start game one of the World Series. They had to start Jose Santiago against Bob Gibson. They lost that game. It put Jim Lomborg behind throughout the World Series, culminating with him pitching game 7 on 2 days rest, right. And he got beat up pretty good. Gibson and the Cardinals beat the Red Sox 7-2 in that final game of the World Series. It also happened one of the years they had to pitch Schilling in 05 to get the wild card, and they went with Matt Clement in game 1 of the division series, and they lost that series badly against the White Sox. So I guarantee they'll give this a lot of thought, and a lot will depend on what they need to do in that final series to close out the regular season.
You mentioned Jose Santiago, but if I remember right, he pitched a heck of a game. I think he lost to Gibson 2-1 in the opener and hit a home run off him.
And he hit a home run. He did hit a home run. I was just reading about that. He was inducted into Hispanic Hall of Fame last weekend at Fenway Park, and he was inducted into that Hall of Fame. And it got me being nostalgic, and I was looking up that he had a couple of very good seasons with the Red Sox, and he did hit a home run in game one of the World Series, which is something I'm sure he'll remember for the rest of his life.
I have to ask you about this because I think you're a baseball purist, and they're having a wonderful season, a pleasant surprise. I don't know that I've ever seen, maybe it's just me, I ask you, have you ever seen a team that runs the bases as poorly as this team does? I don't recall anybody getting thrown out in strange situations like this team does. Or maybe it's just that's how they've decided to play. We'll be aggressive and we'll take chances and sometimes we'll get caught.
I think that a couple of the years John Farrell was manager, they ran the bases recklessly. We used to joke that back then they would keep running until they were thrown out or scored, and which is not accurate, of course, but that's the joke. And I also think it is an issue throughout baseball, and I wouldn't say an issue, but let me just recast that and say it's something that I notice. I'm a nut when it comes to baseball. I have that MLB package, and I watch some West Coast games. I love watching the Mets because they have that tremendous broadcast team of Gary Cohen, Keith Hernandez, and Ron Darling, which is just pure entertainment. And I see base running mistakes all the time, and it's possible that we're so into launch angle and swinging and putting the ball in play and so forth and walks and strikeouts that maybe base running isn't as drilled into players. I don't have a clever answer for you, but the bottom line is you're correct. There have been some base running foibles this season.
Maybe it's why I was so impressed the night that Jonathan Araúz got three sacrifice bunts down, because he might be one of the five players in baseball who can reasonably get a bunt down properly.
Because he's young, because he was taken in the Rule 5 draft, who has to do all the little things to establish a place on the team. It's in his best interest to work on all facets of the game, whereas you're not paying J.D. Martinez to drop bunts. And I remember when Yaz retired, they had this big ceremony, the Yaz Day at Fenway Park, and Charlie Scoggins, who was the president of the Baseball Writers Association, I love this line, I still use it, that they presented, the baseball writers presented Yaz a gift, I think it was like a chair. And Charlie Scoggins said, Yaz, we wanted to get you something you've never had before, but we couldn't find a sacrifice bunt anywhere. And I love that line. And every time, Chaz is still around. He's the official scorer now. Every time I see him, I'll see him tonight, and I'll remind him that I enlightened the listeners in Bangor to his joke from way back when. But a lot of players are not paid to bunt, and they don't work on it. This is the guy who has to do all the little things, and surely he does them.
That's why I like him. Well, Buck, always like talking to you. Thanks so much for making time for us before you head in. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll catch you again soon.
Get me on next week. I'll enlighten you on Miles Davis, okay?
Fantastic. Love it.
See you later.
Thanks, Steve. Steve Buckley, The Athletic, here on Downtown.